song too.
Blog Talk Radio.
Supporting Occupy Wall Street and occupiers all over the world. I have an Occupy group down here in Palm Beach, and we're sponsored by, and the people who run this show are myself, my cohort today, Jack Jodell from Saturday Afternoon Post, and Roundtree7, the number 7.com. All of us are in solidarity with Occupy Wall Street, and this is an official boycott of the MSM. So, hi, Jack. How's your Friday?
Well, Friday's looking good after last night's shocking end of the World Series. Well, it wasn't the end of the World Series, but end of that game. I had the St. Louis Cardinals out of it, you know, twice. They're down to their last strike, and both times they scored two runs to come back and finally win it. So, unbelievable. Well, so I'm looking forward to tonight's game.
Well, it's been my experience whenever there is a very surprising World Series winner, I have a good year. So that's
good.
It makes me feel good. We were speaking of the difficulties of things before the show, and mm-hmm. basically I would say that's a very good omen.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, now, of course, it'll be decided tonight, but even, well, you know, if St. Louis continues on and wins again, that'll be a tremendous comeback for them, because at one point this year they were over 10 games out, and they made it on the last day of the season eligible for wild card status. And if Texas wins, it'll be the first time ever for them. So any which way, I don't think you can lose.
Well, that's very incredible. That is very incredible. I haven't been paying as close attention as I generally do the World Series. I've been catching up with things, but I have to tell you, I do know it's a very strange one this year, and it's a surprising one simply because Keith Olbermann has been taking the time to comment on it when all this other stuff is going
right.
on.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's been surprising to him, too. He had made a couple picks that didn't come through, but, yeah, that's why it's been so strange.
Mm. I want to say hello to everybody who's in our chat room. Hello. Someone asked, World Series, why are you watching the World Series? Well, because we're baseball fans, you know.
And you can't be obsessed with everything else and neglect a few things that you normally do.
We've
got to have some balance in our lives, right?
That's quite true, very true. I'll tell you what I found out today doing my research today for the show. Mm-hmm. That we have a very successful Occupy recruiting strategy now.
Good.
It's working very, very well, and they're polling it as it goes along. It's called police brutality.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that does tend to add to the ranks, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. The police brutality has been stunning. Mm-hmm. As I was saying in my opening, the little prayer to the Maya, and also to say that we are all Scott Olson. You know about Scott Olson. He was
and thankfully he hasn't died, and he's apparently doing a little better now. That's good, because what
mm-hmm.
happened to him
yes.
was completely unprovoked and completely unnecessary.
Yeah, he was actually in fair condition yesterday. What
Great.
They're doing is they're going to do surgery to relieve pressure on his brain.
Oh, they are, okay.
Going to recover and
yes.
be well. Let's hope they just don't charge him money he doesn't have for services rendered.
Right.
You know, like most hospitals do. I noticed that the Democrats are gleefully cutting Medicare and Medicaid to
Yeah, that's a big disappointment.
Over in the House today, aren't they?
Yeah, that's a big disappointment. That's just
a big disappointment.
Unconscionable.
I'm getting to the point where I'm thinking, you know, we should go in with, you know, water cannons. Just clear the decks over there. Clean the garbage out. Get rid of all the, you should pardon my French, shit.
Yeah,
and,
no, I understand. I agree. It's getting
again,
pretty unrepresentative, I would say.
Absolutely. It's been quite horrible. It's this super committee, I guess, and I think that super committee is something that's very illegal and very dangerous.
Yeah, I do too.
I didn't vote for it. I don't see how it was. Ooh, I have a really cool little piece of tape to play for you. I got
cool.
This thinking of you, Jack.
Oh,
it's
okay,
like
great.
60 seconds of tape that I think we're going to keep. It's Michael Moore and Keith Olbermann, but it's Michael Moore saying it. When I heard him say this, I actually called David up and said, did you hear what he just said?
Yeah.
It is national television.
Oh, yeah.
I was just stunned, and it's pretty fabulous.
Was
Listen
that from last
this.
Night's show?
Uh-huh.
Was that from last night's show?
Party problem here
yeah.
on a national scale.
Yes, please.
You've got these 9 Republicans running, all right? And, of course, we all laugh, and there's the joke about you can make about each one of them. And we know that our fellow Americans, at the end of the day, they're not going to go in the voting booth and vote for crazy. Even though they might be upset at Obama, they're not going to go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So it begs the question then, if this is the party of the rich, the Republicans, if this is the party of wealth in Wall Street, the party that brought about the crash of 08. Why aren't the wealthy making sure they have a Republican that's running that's going to win?
Mm.
It doesn't look like they're concerned at all about making sure they've got their man on the Republican ticket, unless they believe they've got their man on the Democratic Party ticket.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, okay, well, then we're in for a longer haul than just igloos in the winter here in Manhattan.
That's the piece, Jack.
I saw that. And he's got a very good point there. If the Democrats keep colluding with the Republicans and, oh, yeah, they're so against all this Republican stuff, they end up doing the Republicans' bidding 9 times out of 10. They've gotten very weak, they have no punch left to them at all, except for a very, very few. You know, they're not a representative party anymore. Really, you know, since most of Congress is composed almost exclusively of people from upper middle class backgrounds or wealthy backgrounds or very wealthy occupations before they went into Congress, do we really have a voice? That's my question. And I've pointed that out in my blog over the years, I think very successfully. You know, 39% of all Congress people are attorneys. Now, I don't know many attorneys that are getting by on $15,000 a year, if you know what I mean. So one aspect. Then there's businessmen. There's all kinds of things that, you know, nobody – how many truck drivers are there in Congress?
I think, Jack – I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that a majority of – I mean, I took a look at this corporate model that they have, the Democrats have running against Alan West here. If you take a look at him, the way they've got him dressed up, all of his talking points and how he's backed up by Wasserman Schultz and his look on his website, it's all corporate. It's all paid for. I think that people go into politics and have been for over 20 years to make money. They don't
go
into
politics. Could very well be. Yeah.
It's a rare person who goes into politics anymore to actually attend a constituency.
Yeah. Well, let's face it. They get an unbelievable pension from the day they're in there, and it only increases with the amount of time that they're in Congress, and it's unlike anything you find in private industry or even in the civil service. It's unbelievably generous to the people that have been in Congress, and you know they've put themselves on a pedestal, and they really have started to believe that they're better than we are and that they don't have to abide by the same rules we do. And I'm very sorry, but that's not the case.
Well, it's basically I think that they feel that they are part of a 1% that they hobnob with because these people court them to buy votes, and so they think they're one. They're not. Let me tell you what they are. They're what my great-great-grandfather would call a bootlackey. That's exactly what they are. And the piece that I played with Moore, I think Moore was making it very clear that the Republicans already have, the serious Republicans with the money and the brains behind the woodshed, seriously have their candidate already. He's already in the White House. And I think that's exactly what Moore was saying. I think it's exactly true. I think that Mr. Obama is a corporate hack, and he has been from the very beginning. I've never once seen him step out in front of a fight. Never. Never seen him step out in front of a fight.
No.
Seen him sit down and sign a few bills. And I know he's got lots of pretty talk. But,
yeah, he does. He comes out, he bamboozles you quite expertly. But, you know, you can only get away with bullshit just so long, and pretty soon people begin to smell through it. And I hate to say this, I never thought I would say this, but there's a lot of evidence to support what you're saying, Gwen, and it's very, very disappointing. And you know what? We don't need that in this country right now. We need somebody that really, really will fight for the 99%, not just do it in words and little wimpy deeds, you know? We need somebody to really get out there.
What Moore said a few days back on what show, I can't remember, but he was quite right with what he said. Anybody who steps up, and we've got a young man who's doing it right down here running against Alan West. He's he's not asking for corporate money. He's not asking anybody for any money. Like you've spoken with Anita, my friend from Tampa, on the she's a member of the Water Board. She did it on her own dime and by using Facebook and showing up at events. She got elected. People who go and say, I'm not taking any money from any corporations, only what is allotted by the state or whatever, that is all I will use. They are the people you have to take a look at. And there are plenty of people out there that do have money that are great people. I think first of Alan Grayson, you know?
Oh, yes.
He's really, I think that he is, and he has shown by deed. He made a mistake in campaigning the last time by actually embracing the nasty tactics of the Republicans, and the Democrats who had voted for him in independents got upset by that. They thought that that Washington had corrupted him. All those people are back in his camp. There's a campaign on Facebook to have him reelected, and he is running.
I hope he wins. I hope he does. You know what? He is a successful businessman in his own right, though. But that shouldn't be held against him as long as his heart and his deeds are in the right place.
No, and here's the thing. I mean, from my perspective as the, you know, the Kananga woman, the booga booga lady, the potions maker, on the other side of it all. My community today is celebrating the official last day of the Maya calendar, which means it is Ahau 13. Now, it's really just another day, and the Anubek tomb begins tomorrow, and and the cogs and wheels of the calendar begin to reckon again. It's not about, you know, apocalypse or whatever, and that's
the end
not
of the
my
world or all this stuff. What I do hope will happen magically is that all the conservative Republicans will just disappear. We've already discussed
that. Well, now, there's a thought. There's plenty of Mayan day keepers in the territory that we could turn to and say, you know, okay, I'm not going to go down that street. That would be kind of, but I did open with an Ahau 13 prayer, and I do, I do think that one of the things we have to remember here with the 99ers and the people at Occupy Wall Street, they have been absolutely they hit the root cause. They said we have to separate the money from
right.
the politics and the lawgivers in this country.
Right.
Look what SCOTUS has done to us. Just absolutely terrible. I'm going to pause for a second here because there's some chatter in the chat room here that is a gentleman, I don't know, it could be a lady named Rocco here, talking about a Wall Street protester that was taken. Yes, his name was Scott Allen. He's the guy from Oakland. Okay, I see what's going on. Mr. Rocco, we're always happy to hear anyone's opinion, but you don't need to be crass. And basically, we're here to discuss the solidarity for Occupy Wall Street. So if you're not of the same mind or anything, please be aware that's what we are discussing. Gentlemen, Cloud Nation Radio, pay-to-play politics is here to stay, unfortunately. Well, that is the whole idea behind Occupy Wall Street. Enough is enough. That's why people are collecting, not just in this country, but worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
People are collecting in order to say, not just from, you know, Americans, from their government. The students in Chile are up in arms. They're filling Tahrir Square again. They were at the base of the Arc de Triomphe at the end of the Champs-Élysées, and in Paris the French were gathering.
Mm-hmm.
They have a huge amount of people now who have collected, Jack, out in front of St. Paul's
in the
London Financial District, you know.
Great. Good.
And I have never seen, I really never, Jack, have you ever seen such a rising of spirit, ever?
No,
and
this is
everybody.
Great, worldwide, and it's because of the international network of communication that's established now that's much quicker than it used to be, and it's very encouraging, and it just shows universally how people are so disgusted with the excesses of capitalism. Now, we haven't found anything that's better, but we sure found something in capitalism that's very, very detrimental to everybody's well-being. It isn't the great, beautiful, white hinterland that they used to say it was. It's just not true. It robs people. It deprives people. It keeps people down. It isn't the great, beautiful land of opportunity like we've been led to believe. Not always, and not for all people. So our foreign policy is a good example of that. We've used our foreign policy for the benefit of rich companies and corporations. We go to war over oil and things like that instead of blatant physical abuses.
Well, we're at the bottom of the list, Jack.
Exactly.
We're at the bottom of the industrial nation list when it comes to education, when it comes to health care.
Right, because all our resources are going to promote capitalism for the very, very, very wealthy, and everything else is getting neglected. Our infrastructure is going to hell. Everything's going to hell because we've got the wrong priorities, period.
Well,
the
priority is profit. And
exactly.
Do you know who the big givers have been to President Obama so far? Corporations, Pfizer and Comcast, and they're lining up to give more to him.
Oh,
you know,
Comcast,
other companies.
They're terrible. They want to do away with the freedom of the internet. They're a bad company.
Right.
Verizon screws
Sandy
its workers.
Sandy White is part of our Roundtree crowd, and I would suggest to you, Sandy, call in and talk to us.
Yeah.
And let this guy go, you know, to the closet to do his thing.
One thing,
you know?
there are a number of people out there that are saying, just be complacent because, it's the way things are and you're never going to overcome it and all this stuff. I don't buy that, and I'll tell you why I don't buy that, and I'm not an extremist, as you know. The reason I don't buy that is that past history has shown us that sometimes when the going gets very, very tough and unbearable, people do rise up and they do make a change. They did it during the Gilded Age. At the time, it looked like it was impossible for anything, any progressive action to occur. Teddy Roosevelt came along and guided the whole country in a progressive direction.
He wrote about it, yes.
And the Civil Rights Movement is another. Down south, man, those were impenetrable walls that they had built up between the races.
I agree.
But it's not impossible. So people shouldn't just say, oh, that's the way it always was and it's the way it's always going to be, and so I'll just sit here timidly and go along with it. I don't buy that. It infuriates me, and I'm not launching this vindictive against anybody in particular, but that particular attitude is very wrong.
Like the rest of the occupiers around the country, and you are one yourself there in Minnesota,
right. Mm-hmm.
You have had enough. You have absolutely had enough. Now, I want to let people know that there have been 350 arrests in Tucson. And remember, I think you were with me. We spoke about it last Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That mayor and the city council pushed through
a big fine.
Ridiculous amendment that allows the police to write tickets after 10 p.m. that
ridiculous.
Fines the people $1,000 each
mm-hmm.
time they are arrested.
Well,
so,
they're going to have overloaded jails then because none of those people can afford it, so to hell with them.
Right,
and let them
the
have their overloaded
are,
jails and to hell with
if,
them. That is a wrong way to go about it.
Yeah, when the people get out, they just go right back to occupy. Like I said,
right.
We have found the strategy for recruitment, and it is police brutality. Now,
exactly.
The Tucson mayor's name is Bob Walkby. That's just like walk by.
They ought to walk by him the next election and throw him out.
Yeah, that's a good idea. His phone number is 520-791-4201, and I absolutely will put that up on our at the end of the show in our chat
room. Good. Repeat
it
right now again so people can get it and call them and reach out with the guy.
It's 520-791-4201, and we also have the Tucson Police Department. Now, I've called them a few times. And they're getting pretty upset with all the phone calls, I can tell. So is Oakland.
Well, good. Let's give them some more then.
That number is 520-791-4444. Now, we do have a caller, so I'm going to take the call. Now, if this turns out to be somebody who wants to be argumentative, I probably will not allow them to remain on.
Yeah.
But we always want to hear from folks and what you're thinking. This is a
solidarity. As long as people are civil, that's all we ask, you know.
Yeah,
just be civil.
Solidarity movement. So area code 740, you're on live. Hello.
Hi, it's Sandy White.
Hey,
hi, Sandy.
I won't
take it
too long.
Shoot, it was either you or the guy typing so much.
Oh well, he Rocco just finally made me decide to stop playing in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't play well.
Mm-hmm.
No, he doesn't. And, Blog Talk doesn't give you a mechanism. I can block him from, people seeing what he writes for a while, but
mm-hmm.
people have learned to, go out and come back in and start it up again. So
sure.
I think the people that generally listen to the show are...
And they're extreme minority anyway, so...
Yeah, yeah.
He does not, like most ignorant people, does not want to listen to what the other side has to say.
Or accept the reality of what's going on.
If you're too closed-minded to listen, then you're never going to stop being ignorant.
That's right, Sandy.
And he's also...
Where are you from, Sandy?
Southeastern Ohio. Rural Appalachian.
Ooh, that is Republican country, isn't it?
Except for Athens County.
Except for your county?
Oh,
Athens County
great.
Will
great.
Be the only go by a little color scheme. We're going to stand out compared to all the people around us.
Well, good for you.
And you have an Occupy movement going there locally?
We have two things going on. Because we're very rural and it's a very poor area, it affects what we can do. But we do have Ohio University in Athens, and they have an Occupy OU that started on the 5th of this month.
Good.
And then there are a bunch of us who pop in and out of the Occupy OU and have a regular daytime presence in front of our courthouse, even though we don't camp. Most of us have farms, jobs, kids, whatever.
Yes. Yes.
But we are out there every day, especially during lunch hour in front of the courthouse, keeping a presence.
Wonderful.
And
wonderful. How has your police department been with you all?
Absolutely fine.
Good.
They're used to a town that is rather outspoken. They were very good with us a couple weeks ago when we had a big anti-fracking group in front of a hotel where one of the big energy companies was trying to have an event to get as many landowners as possible to sign over the drilling rights for next to nothing and a free gift.
That's something. They'll do anything, won't they? Well, I'm proud of you for having stood up and for raising Cain about it, because that is exactly what you should be doing, and that's a very patriotic gesture on your part.
Those of us who are so troubled by what is going on in our country are troubled because we're patriots.
Exactly.
If I didn't love my country, I wouldn't give a crap.
Exactly right. Good point.
There you go. President Obama was heckled. Well, he wasn't really heckled. He was protested against where he was twice in the last couple of days, and they had film of it today. The last one, and I don't know where it was, but they were protesting his position on the XL pipeline.
Okay. They should. Yeah. And let's hope he learned something from those protests. It's unconscionable, his support for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There is a group opposing the tar sands and the pipeline that is getting ready to have a big demonstration in Washington.
Good.
I don't know if I'll get to make it there, but I have made it to check in with the different occupies that have happened in Ohio for the most part. It's a 3-hour drive or so over to Cincinnati, but I checked in when they got going, and the same up in Columbus. We're trying to show people that it's not just something that cities can do if they're a big city.
It doesn't matter. It's pervasive across the country. It's not just urban. It's not just a certain sector of certain cities. It's across the entire country, and people have had enough of Wall Street.
That's it. We're small town America here. A lot of us don't even live in town.
Yeah.
But we still have something going. Athens.
You are real Americana.
We are that. Athens has about 35,000 people when OU is in session.
Wow,
we're about 15,000 when OU is not in session.
Right.
But if you know, it needs to come to all those small towns too.
Oh yes, and it will.
It is. There are people, actually, Sandy. There are people that Keith Overman keeps mentioning in his tweet, because small towners tweet him, and he retweets it to let people know. There are two people that are part of an Occupy movement in a small town somewhere up in Oregon, where probably it's Four Corners. And there are places in upstate New York that only have maybe 100 or 75 people in the town. And they have their own little Occupy there. So it's all over the place. It's
and
not
a lot
just
of them are conservative, are typically conservative areas where people have really finally had enough, and they're tired of being sequestered into a small little shrinking base of prosperity, which is disappearing daily. It's gone too far.
Yeah, most of us here are, you know, who are out there are certainly would call ourselves liberal or to the left of liberal.
Good.
But we do have a few people who actually belong to the Republican Party here who are standing out there with us.
Well, exactly.
And it's lovely. I was just going to say, it's lovely that our courthouse happens to be directly across the street from Chase Bank, which is the only big bank in town.
Okay, good.
You said, now you don't have any little savings and loans still in your town?
We have small town banks and two credit unions.
Credit unions.
The banks being local and not outside of the county even, so they're local.
Right. Good.
And Chase is the big one that we have, and it's great that they have to look at us all day.
Right, and I hope a lot of the Chase customers will decide to pull their funds out and invest them in the small banks in the town, and also in the credit unions, because they're not big corporate behemoths like Chase is, or Bank of America, or people like that. And the more people we can get to take their money out from those kinds of institutions and into the smaller, local, community-oriented establishments, the better.
Yeah, most of us who are local have done that already. We need to work with the Ohio University students now.
There you go.
But I'll get off the phone and let you guys keep going. I just needed a break from the chat room for a little
bit. Yeah, well, thanks for calling in, Sandy. We like you to call in all the time.
Sandy, I booted the guy out. And call back anytime. We're here every day in solidarity. It was so nice to hear your voice.
Yes, it was.
I usually listen instead of speak, but
we're glad you talked today. Thank you, Sandy.
Okay, bye.
Have a good day.
Bye, Sandy.
You too.
Cloud Nation Radio has pointed out that there are small towns in Illinois outside of Chicago that are occupying as well. My nephew goes to school in a little town outside of Chicago called Elmhurst, and he's playing football tomorrow. And I've asked if there's an Occupy movement on campus, and apparently there is some knowledge of it. You know, the kids in school right now, I got the idea from him and some of his friends that, you know, a lot of college kids are kind of scared. They're paying out this money, and if they're borrowing, you know,
they have every reason to be scared. Good reason to be. It's terrible.
And so when the companies that do come around and see the seniors and the juniors during the year, you know, on those days that they have when they – I never attended any when I was in school.
Yeah, me either.
Looking for, you know, headhunting. People say that no matter what their politics are, people will say that they are basically Republican because they figure corporations will hire them quicker than if they say they're Democrat.
Right.
And I have to say, I would think it makes a whole lot what your school background is and what your grades were, but you know what? He's probably more right than I am.
I think you're right because the Republicans, they want the path of least resistance nowadays. Conservatives don't want any guff from anybody. They want you to be a perfect, obedient little slave, and then they'll ram it down your throat like everybody else. You won't cause them any trouble. That's what they want. So they're not going out of their way to hire a bunch of liberal Democrats or people on the left. They want solid, staid conservatives. That's all they want, and the more of them they can get, the happier they think they'll be. But it's pathetic.
Well, and the thing is, too, I've noticed that, like, in our group here, and Occupy Palm Beach we have been occupying since last weekend at the end of Clematis Street downtown in West Palm Beach. At the base of the fountain there, we are occupying 24/7 now.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow there is a meeting, a general assembly tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. And today, actually right now, they're having a march down to the banks in City Place. But I have gone and forgotten exactly what I was going to say about Occupy. So I was paying attention.
It'll come back.
I was paying attention. There's a conversation lively in the chat room, and Sandy asked, does anyone know what happened with Chicago saying protesters with signs didn't represent the public, and that's just bullshit.
Oh, who the hell came up with that insanity? You know, even an establishment politician like Rahm Emanuel wouldn't be that crazy, you know. That's crazy.
Well, so. Sandy is saying that tonight in Chicago, protesters have been informed by the local police that they do not represent the public because they are holding signs and therefore have no right to the use of public spaces. Protesters being forced to march in circles or face being, you know, probably arrested. Well, you know, that's Rahm Emanuel. That's Rahm Emanuel.
That is crazy.
That's sawed-off little prick.
Yeah, that is terrible. You know, and it's the Chicago police again. What more notorious? I mean, they acted up 33 years ago. They're doing it again. Same old crap, you know. And it's always the protesters that are wrong, and they're not representative and radical and crazy and all this stuff when we know otherwise. Well, we'll see how successful their endeavor will be.
This is actually drawing people to cause. It's a strategy of recruitment, all of this brutality and bad and let me tell you something. I think it's making a huge difference with the way people are going to be voting. I would say to any Chicagoan that I know, you know, do not vote for the GD Democrat that's sitting in your mayor's office right now. That's just a stupid move. But they say Chicago politics are the nastiest in the planet. So.
Oh, they're terrible. They're so corrupt, it's unbelievable. You know,
Tammany Hall, right?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I've been predicting for quite a while, especially since the outbreak of Occupy Wall Street and all the myriad of other groups that have sprung into existence virtually overnight, they're not going anywhere either. Winter may come, and you may see a few numbers disappear a little bit, but those people that went home and stayed warm, they haven't changed their minds. Don't get yourself wrong there. They're going to be out in the spring again, all over again, and they're going to be very much out next November 6th to vote against this corporate crap that we have. They're going to throw out a bunch of these teabaggers and Republicans, and we're going to see a huge, if not a controlling block, you're going to see a huge, huge, huge input of progressive candidates, I predict it right now. And I'll be advocating for it.
Well, there's the fact that a lot of, I've seen it's like the young man who's part of our Occupy group that's running against Alan West, the old mayor of West Palm Beach. I was actually going to support her, but the more I listen to the wonderful young man who's down there talking amongst all of us.
She's part of the establishment.
The more I think he actually deserves my help when Lois is actually just part of the Democrat establishment. I wouldn't vote for if there's a Republican there. I'm who else is running, please?
Exactly. It's getting to that point. The Blue Dogs were the worst. Now, Howard Dean had a 50-state strategy, and it did elect a lot of Democrats in 2008. But the problem was it elected the wrong kind of Democrats. It didn't elect progressive, liberal-minded, worker-oriented Democrats that were traditionally the base of the party. It elected a bunch of dinos, a bunch of Democrats in name only, who were just going along for the ride or who were way too conservative to even be part of that party.
Well,
and they've shifted the party rightward, and it's bad.
I think what's going to tell and make the difference, and while I'm talking, I'd like the 212 area code to know. Hi, Trish.
Hi, Trish.
I think that we need to watch the Elizabeth Warren Scott Brown contest real closely because I think that's I think it's bellwether. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. I expect her to win, even though they're going to be throwing shit at her left, right, and center. I expect her message to prevail because people are fed up and they're not going to be dissuaded by a bunch of blatant propaganda that probably is Koch brothers supported to think that she's a complete radical idiot. For God's sake, she's a Harvard professor. It doesn't make her a wacko. It makes her a brilliant person, and she's very consumer-oriented, and she deserves election.
Well, and from what I can gather, from what I've seen with her interviews, she is very good at being just plain folks and talking to people.
She grew up in that environment. She's not an elitist, you know. She came from real America.
She is a squint. She is a number cruncher, but she actually has the ability to provide an explanation that is not so professorial but more along the lines of, well, put it into your ballpark.
Common vernacular. That's right.
Yes. To the common. And basically, I think she's getting that done in Massachusetts right now. That's Teddy Kennedy's seat.
It doesn't belong in Scott Brown's hands.
I cannot believe that Massachusetts allowed that. Well, actually, they made that happen out of anger. They were angry with Democrats.
Nominated a complete, I forget her name now, she's pretty mediocre, and she didn't campaign worth a damn, and she deserved to be defeated.
Well, she thought that she was going to win. She was the state prosecutor. She's really pretty smart politician.
Right, she didn't campaign worth a damn.
Right.
She took it for granted.
She was absolutely lazy, did absolutely nothing to...
Yeah, Martha Coakley, that's who it was.
Coakley, yes.
Yeah.
And she's very good at her job.
So let her stay there and let Elizabeth Warren take back the seat for true progressives that used to inhabit it for the last 50 years.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you there.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%.
Right.
We've got 10 minutes left at the hour. I think we've made all of our announcements.
Great. Trish, are you still there?
I am.
Good. What are you down on Wall Street today?
No, I had things to take care of on the domestic front.
That's okay. No problem.
Hopefully I'll make it down there Sunday. I want to go. There's an interfaith service that the church where I work is involved with, and I want to know what's up with that.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't seen it, and I don't know if this is Jack, right?
Yeah, you bet, dear. Good to hear from you.
I recognize your voice. I just came on late. But anyway, I've been getting a little insight more into the whole process because a young man is staying with me right now who's in town working on the documentary with Dennis Traynor and of No Cure for That. So Punk Patriot is here, and so I'm making sure he's warm and dry and fed, and he's spending 10 hours a day down there filming it to film it.
Right.
So
okay.
That's what's happening in my happy little world. And
Have you decided what time you're going to be on tomorrow here?
It for tomorrow at 1. I'm going to hopefully be able to talk to Punk tonight or in the morning before he goes. And so, anyway, that's what I'm anticipating. So I'll find out what's going on, because of the general strike coming up. What are the preparations for the general strike?
Right.
And,
okay,
so you've got the information. I was looking for the information. That's the last thing I was going to talk about today. There is a general strike on November 2nd, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Correct, and here and in Oakland and probably San Francisco, but that's all I know right now. It has been set. There is something up on the OccupyWallStreet.org website, but specifics yet, what's going to happen, who's on board, what's up with the unions, that I don't know.
That is fair, yeah. But I am going to promote tomorrow at our Occupy, our General Assembly, I'm going to promote the general strike here, too. If we really could get a general strike with some meat to it, would scare the hell out of a lot of...
That would open up a lot of eyes real quick, and that would scare the powers that be into doing something,
Yeah. No, I think a strike could, we haven't had a good strike in this country since, the Ronald Reagan and the air traffic controllers and that.
Right, exactly. And it's time to bring it back in a big way.
Yeah, I'd like to see what Obama does with that one too.
Yeah.
Because he
better be down there with Pickett in hand or he's toast.
He's a crumpet. He's a scone. He's a 1%, One thing he's not is a cracker. The crackers are on the other side, I suppose.
Right.
But
anyway. Yeah, they're the other extreme.
I saw the piece of film of him being, and I mentioned
against.
This already, so I beg the pardon of the audience, but he was heckled or jeered by protesters yesterday, and they got it on film, and they were talking about the XL pipeline, and Obama said, yes, we're looking at that, we're going to review that. He was lying through his teeth.
He better reassess that position very quickly.
I was talking to my mom this morning, and the numbers had come out for the oil company profits this year. Oh, my God. It was enough to make you barf. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But, and when you're coupling that with the profits that the banks have, so all this fourth quarter information or third quarter information is being released. And I think it's just the right thing to, add fuel to a general strike.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when the CEO of Citibank is making $9.5 million and the teller's making $12.65 an hour.
Criminal.
Yeah.
No excuse. No excuse for that. That's indefensible.
Yeah. Well, because it is sadly legal in this country. Now,
and, you listen to... you listen to John Boehner, that idiot, and, oh, everybody's not hiring because they're so nervous about regulation and they're so nervous about the threat of taxation on the horizon. I'm sorry. What a lame excuse that is. And what a water boy he is.
Here's the thing that went down. You've got President Obama being hit on all sides on the road right now. And the MSM is covering for him, and that's kind of weird because they were bombasting him before. That's why Michael Moore's statement last night is pretty revealing. Also, I would remind people, and I said this the other day on the show when I was talking about it, a young man was shot in the face with a rubber bullet and then hit in the head with a shock grenade by a police officer in Oakland, California. His name was Scott Allen. He is in fair condition. They are going to perform surgery, if they haven't, to relieve pressure on his brain. But while that was going on, while that young man went down and those protesters, there was a woman in a wheelchair they were thrown. That brutality was incredible.
Exactly.
And right across the bay, across friggin' bay, Obama had a $35,000 and $38,000 and $1,800 for the small seats plate per person. Fundraiser going on. I find that atrocious.
And another thing, that Scott Allen, he was a Marine, for God's sakes. It served in Iraq and came back and was here unemployed, and all of a sudden, boom, he gets a grenade in the head. What kind of crap is that?
It breaks my heart, you know, and that's why I'm so angry at the president.
Yeah.
He had no right being over there collecting money from corporations and saying he doesn't. He's starting to say that. And it's his people in the White House now in the press room are parroting, and they're speaking hesitantly, just like I am right now, reaching for the words I want to use to explain things because I don't want to say what a fucking sham it is to have someone get heckled while they're talking and say, what are you going to do about the XL pipeline? Oh, well, that's on my desk. That's bullshit. Hillary and him have already cut a deal with the oil companies. And all they're going to do is put it out across our land and our clear water tables down to the dockside in Texas and ship it out for sale.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with this country's needs. It has everything to do with the profiteering of oil companies.
On Wall Street, the speculators are still active and still dictating the price of oil, and that should never be.
Oh, yeah, well, we're not against capitalism.
We're not against
money.
We just want it done correctly and administered fairly and not piggishly.
Yeah. No,
My good friend Michael Hugh is in the chat room. And,
hi, Michael.
And Michael, forgive me for being so upset, but I saw a guy go down, and I just I am angry. He writes wonderful stuff over at randomthoughts@blogspot.com.
And I'll
be
covering him soon in my next blog.
But I gotta tell you, right now, everybody in the world, I mean, we've got Egyptians talking about what a corporate man President Obama turned out to be. That's really embarrassing.
Well, there's still time for him to change his tune, but, he's got to do it. He can't just talk about it. He's got to do it.
He's not going to. He is what he is, and that's okay, because it's just like, whatever, man. General strike on Tuesday. He sucks balls. He wouldn't
be
saying it.
Right on, sister. I'm with you.
Okay, he's not any different than any president we've had since forever because of the money and the politics that's corrupted the system.
Well,
right.
I have to address something here in the In the chat room, there's someone in there who's saying that they don't understand what people are protesting about. They're sending mixed messages about Marxism and socialism. Well, no, nobody
is.
Where
are they getting this information?
In that, basically, it's about
group.
It's
on Fox News.
Hang on now. I'm going to play just a little tiny piece here to be more explanatory. This is one of my personal heroes, this lady is, and she's mm-hmm. going to, within a minute, explain just exactly what Occupy Wall Street is about. Hang
Good.
On and listen.
I want to give you a chance to chime in on Occupy Wall Street. Is the media ignoring it? It seems like that has not been the case the last 24 hours.
Well, I think the media, for the most part, mainstream media, tends to ignore any kind of outside of the establishment box movements, especially if they're considered to be on the left. And they do have a clear message. It's called Occupy Wall Street. Wall Street,
right,
not called
right.
Occupy right. just this floor or this table. And we are the 99%ers, which they're saying means we are the 99% of citizens who have no voice in government. The message, I think, seems very, very clear. And, you know, sometimes people bring the Tea Party in and compare them. The Tea Party is an establishment movement funded by and supported by corporate money and a propaganda network. And they have messaging people like Frank Luntz or people who do these things in the echo chamber, Grover Norquist.
Right.
This on Occupy Wall Street is a real grassroots people movement with a message.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very good.
It is, and the message is people's needs over corporate greed. That's the
right.
basic of it. That
right.
is the basis of the whole thing. That's why they're talking about the 99% versus the 1%.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a caller. I'm going to open up the mic for another 10 minutes on, and then we're out of here.
Okay.
I'm trying to get it open.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. What you need to do is turn your sound off so that...
I'm going to open up the mic. Oh, okay. Let's see.
You have to turn your sound off or we actually can't talk back and forth.
Okay. I've done that now.
Hi, nice to hear from you.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. This is Beth
sure.
Ward from Texas. Gwendolyn is a Facebook friend,
great.
And that's how I found out about this broadcast.
Great.
I live 30 miles south of Houston in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Dante was wrong. There is yet another circle of hell, and it is Texas. But a couple of things that the thing that you were just recently discussing, I've been listening for a while. I believe that the mainstream media is claiming not to understand what the message is because they're being paid not to understand it.
Right.
It's a very, very simple... Pardon?
Go ahead.
A very simple message.
Mm-hmm.
Economic justice. Two words. It couldn't
mm-hmm.
be simpler.
Right.
The rich robbing from the poor. That's
right.
all that's been going on for the past 30 years.
Yep.
I watched in the 80s as profit and money became gods in this company, in this country, and human lives became a means to an end rather
mm-hmm.
than an end in themselves,
mm-hmm.
and that makes for a terribly immoral and harsh and barbaric country, and that's what we have now.
You're very right, and I thank you for calling in and expressing that. That is right on the money.
I agree.
Well, I'm like testify. I just my folks live up on 1960, so I know from this level of hell you call.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, bless their hearts. Well, I am here until my son graduates from high school next year. There is a good school system in Texas, and it's the one that my son attends, and the rent is indeed too damn high down here where the school system is.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been living hand to mouth in order to make sure that, or I have, in order to make sure that my kids could graduate from high school here.
Mm-hmm.
But even this school, as wealthy as the area is, even this school has had to lay off 170 people and cut programs.
No excuses.
There is
no.
Exactly the words I was about to say. We are throwing away our children in this country.
Very good.
Yeah. I agree.
And it's not because the people on Wall Street need the money. They just use that money to keep score. Those are just numbers by which they keep score.
Right.
But from us, they take what we need for our very lives, and they begrudge us, even our lives.
Right.
If it keeps them from coming out on top and keeping score.
Yeah, and those layoffs didn't occur because of people on Social Security or Medicare. That's a big lie. That's just an excuse for them.
Well, and it's a good way that they can turn us upon one another.
Right.
And they can fight over the crumbs.
Yeah, it's a divisiveness. It's a divisiveness, but that tactic is not really working. People are more and more, it's like the police brutality. The divisiveness is just driving people into these Occupy groups. It's horizontal protesting. It's peaceful. There is no partisanship. I don't ask people if they're a Democrat or a Republican or a Tea Party member. I ask
them. No, we're all part of the 99%.
That's right, because what matters is that you're
there. You know?
But I wanted to ask, because, Beth, I know that we have to sign off here soon, and I wanted to say if you're around tomorrow at 1, I would love to continue this conversation here at Here Be Monsters.
Oh, I
certainly
will.
Great, great. I hope
you
do. That's great. I won't be there, but good to hear from all of you.
You know, and it's so articulate, so I'd love to speak with you again, and I'm glad that you called.
Yeah, please do again.
Yeah,
oh,
Beth,
and I'll meet Danielle on Facebook too.
Oh, man. It's
okay,
really been
thank you.
It's been a pleasure to have you. Call back, speak with Tricia tomorrow. She'll be on at 1 p.m. and she'll post on Facebook. And I will add you to our Roundtree room so you will see the postings and Facebook, Beth. And it's Beth Moore, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in your friends on Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I see your name and your postings come. I pay attention. and I do thank you for. I do want before we go. I want to thank you, Jack, for coming in with me and
always
Trisha,
a pleasure. Always a pleasure, and to hear from that lady in Texas. God bless you, and keep on struggling because that's all we can do at this point.
It's better than giving up, isn't it?
That's right, honey. You got it. You're exactly right. And we're going to win.
I'm not with my last breath. I will not give up. So
there you go.
I'll talk to you guys.
By not quitting.
Bye.
We are going to win, and I'll talk to you all Sunday.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
All right, talk to you then. Bye-bye.
Have a great evening.
Yeah, you bye-bye. Too.
Bye-bye.
I want to thank Cloud Nation Radio for being here, all of our guests in there. And Sandy, it was great to hear your voice. Thank you so much for calling in. I am going to remind everybody just one more time that this is officially AHAL 13, and it is the last day of the Backtoon of Long Count for the Mayan calendar. That means that we're just rebooting. We're in a zone here. And I think it's pretty obvious that change is in the wind. And I'm going to leave you as I opened with every word I speak, every thought that makes me my ancestors guide and provide. Every word spoken here becomes holy messages to all who surround me and walk with me and honor life and our Earth Mother. This is AHAL 13, and I remember the Maya. And all of the indigenous people, the indigenous communities can show us how to reclaim the good health of our planet, of our Earth Mother. And I would end on that note and letting you know that this has been Here Be Monsters, part of a drumline of radio activists on air supporting Occupy Worldwide. And now go on over and listen to Diane. She's over there at Wild Wild West, and we're going to do it. And thanks, Tricia, and thanks, Mike. Thanks, Michael, for being in here. I appreciate it. We will don't forget to come and listen to P.E. Nolan, Tricia Poole tomorrow at 1 p.m. here on Here Be Monsters. Thank you.